wonderful this morning. I don't know wherever you are in this beautiful planet Earth, but wherever you are, take a look outside your window and really praise God for having such a beautiful day. And, you know, here in Arizona, we have an overcast. And an overcast means that there is a possibility of rain. And I'm here to tell you that I like to see the rain, to feel the rain. I appreciate that there's rain and then there's sunshine and then there's rainbows. And you can't have a rainbow if there's no rain and sunshine. So for those people out there, for those listeners, how wonderful you are, God bless you for listening to the show. I'll tell you, you know that it is a beautiful thing to wake up every morning, and it's all about choice. Professor Applewhite is here with you right now and willing to talk to you about choices and about reviewing. We're going to do a review of how to establish success at school and work today, but most importantly, we're going to talk about stress. We're going to talk about handling that first job and some interviewing skills, most importantly, stress, okay? But here's something I want you to know as an underlying theme as we discuss things this morning, is that the most important thing that you must establish for yourself is making sure, check it, check your love thermometer. Your love thermometer, your internal love thermometer, and make sure your thermostat is working, your internal thermostat. Let me make that clear. You know, we use a thermostat to adjust the heat, okay? And the internal thermostat I'm asking you to look at is to adjust the love. Adjust the love first for loving yourself and loving God, your creator, okay? So that's number one, that you need to make sure that that thermostat is in order. Those readings inside of you are in order. And then you need to work on that outer appearance of making sure that not only are you smiling for yourself and feeling blessed about where you are, whether you have a job now or do not have a job and want one. And you make a decision about how you're going to face the world and how you're going to feel about yourself today and in every future day that we can hope for, because we never know what tomorrow will bring, but we certainly can establish some hope about what it can bring and know, as this, the play says, Annie, really great play, about an orphan girl, and it says, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. And she goes on to tomorrow, because that's all we have, the present moment that we're in right now, and then we have whatever we do in this present moment will form how we relate to the future or the tomorrows that we have in front of us. So here we go. Let's talk about how we can establish success at school and work, because we've talked a lot about that. That's what the show, the theme is about. And we certainly thank White Apple Institute for sponsoring the show and giving us the resources to keep going with getting out there and getting the message out there to people who may perceive themselves as unable to succeed at school and work. Let me say that again. White Apple Institute is giving us an opportunity to see how we can establish success at school and work, specifically for those who perceive themselves as unable to work. Now, that perceive is a very key word, because there are some people, and as a matter of fact, I've got some mail from some people who are saying to me through that last series that we just did, Are you saying that everybody who has a disability should go to work? And no, I'm not saying that at all, because there are always exceptions to the rule, always. And so I'm saying that if your doctor has allowed you to engage in any type of work or volunteer activity or going to school and taking one or two classes, even if it's on a Saturday morning, but make sure if you miss the show, you check out the archive shows, the saved shows, okay? But we just want to make sure that you understand, and whoever you share this show with, because some of you out there I know are listening to the show, and you don't have some of the issues that we're talking about, but you know someone who does. And so make sure that you get a chance, you know, over a cup of coffee, just snap on, you know, hit the keys on your computer for Blog Talk Radio and Student to Teacher Show. Remember, that's using the number 2, Student to Teacher Show. And make sure that you just put it on. You don't force the issue. You just say, hey, listen, I'm listening to this right now. I'd like to share this with you. And you have no idea how many people have done that, and there's been some very successful stories that have come out of it from people who never believed that they could do anything. And thank God that I feel comfortable in sharing my voice and some words of encouragement to help people to roll up their sleeves, no matter how many times you fall down, no matter how many operations that you go through, surgeries, procedures, doctors in your ear, nurses all over the place, whether you're laying in the bed right now on a permanent level or temporary level. You have a choice to do whatever you wish to do within reason. And I'm here to tell you that there are many people, thanks to technology, that are doing wonderful things on the internet. Be careful of some of the scams out there, though, but there are some really good companies, and I've heard some of the students that have called me say to me that they're making a little bit of income. It's not a lot, but it's something, doing some type of internet sales, telling people that driving traffic to a certain website or something like that. So even if you're laying in bed and you're not able to move around and do the things you want to do, and you want to do something with your life besides just lay there and watch movies or television, there are some other ways that you can do. And you know what? Even better than that, there are online courses you can take. As a matter of fact, I'm developing a course right now for Psychology 101 that will be online for some of the colleges to represent or, you know, engage your students in for registration, for registration at the college, and they can actually come in and join me in a Psychology 101 course. So if you're interested in that, make sure you send me an email or at danitaapplewhite@yahoo.com. And for most of you, you can go on to the show page and see how to spell my name. And I look forward to hearing from you and knowing if that in any way has helped. So, my great listeners out there, we're pretty much, the last time I checked, we're almost at the 9,000 level of listeners. And I am just astonished that there are so many people interested in this topic around the world, and that brings Professor Applewhite great pleasure, because it means that somewhere, someone is being touched by what's being said on this show, and from time to time, our wonderful guests that join us, from either our board of directors at White Apple Institute, or from people just calling in, teachers, social workers, whatever. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate your the great ideas that have come out of that. People participating in the show and calling in. Let me give you a call-in number again. just in case you're on computer or listening with someone else. The call-in number is 1-646-727-3758. And also, for those of you who feel a little uncomfortable about getting on, getting into the live air show, you can also connect with me through chat, through a chat session, and I will actually answer your chat during the show. So even if you just want to say congratulations, great job, that's fine too. I appreciate all of those comments. So the chat room is open now, and I will check that periodically. All right, so we're going to talk about some great techniques about how to keep a job and how to successfully interview for a job. And, you know, it's interesting that when we talk about interviewing, it's not just that we interview at the beginning of a job. Now, I know you're saying, what are you talking about, Professor? Here's what I want to say. We interview continuously throughout our jobs, okay? Every time that we're involved with talking to coworkers or our, especially anyone that's in a so-called superior management position, that we are, again, interviewing for that job. We are interviewing for the job if they're evaluating our performance. If they're evaluating your performance, and they do this on most jobs, even fast food, is that they have, the managers have a sheet that they need to fill out for each employee that says, yes, this person is doing a good job. And that is very much a part of interviewing. And so you must always stay on your P's and Q's, so to speak, and let me convert that outside of the American culture. That means that staying aware of how you present yourself on the job. So the clothing that you wear, I spoke earlier when we opened the show about the smile you must choose, the way you choose to love yourself, having that internal thermostat going that says the temperature that you set for love is there. And, you know, once you do that internally, inside of your heart, your mind, it automatically is going to make you smile and feel good about yourself. So let's work on not only just keeping a job and successful interviewing, let's also work on the fact that we have to learn how to love ourselves. And with that love, there will be a motivation that kicks in. I've spoken a lot about a click that happens. This click that turns on the light inside of you and says, I've got to do something with my life. I want to move on. Now, I have some things that I want to share with you and get your opinion on them, my dear listeners, my dear friends out there. I really want to get your opinion on how to succeed on the job, and I also want to get your opinion on this thing I'm talking about interviewing, this concept of interviewing from a very spiritual perspective. When we interview, we are not just being interviewed. Now, listen carefully to what I'm saying, because I run into this a lot with many of my students and the professionals that I share discussions with. It's about the fact that you've got to feel good that you're interviewing the company too. You see, they're not just interviewing you. You must put yourself in a position where you're interviewing them also. You know, at the end of an interview, the person says to you, do you have any questions? And here's the key. Do you have any questions? Means, did you hear everything that I said? Did you truly understand everything that we talked about in this last 15-minute interview or 20 minutes or whatever it was, whatever the time was that you spent with the person that's interviewing you? And so it's important to listen to what they're saying so that you can come back from that question about, do you have any more questions, and say something that sounds like you really have listened to them. But most people say, no, I don't have any questions. And for some interviewers, especially in the tight crunch that we're in right now to secure jobs, employment, especially, you know, I mean, other countries are having challenges too with this economic recession. However, in America, we are also dealing very, very heavily with this unemployment issue, and we're not accustomed to it. We're not used to dealing with this large unemployment number. And so there's a lot of psychological adjustment that needs to be made to how we handle ourselves on the job. I was speaking with a human resource person a couple of weeks ago, and she said, you know, there's people that come in with anger issues, and you can see them right away when you start talking about, you know, why they left their last job, and they say something about they downsized or whatever, that the anger comes out about the position that the person is in. And that becomes a red flag to many employers. So be careful about how you present why you left your last job. And be aware, again, that that question about do you have any questions is related to whether or not you are truly listening to what the employer has said to you during the interview. So while you're listening, develop a question. That's right. Develop a question. Say something about, would you explain the insurance a little bit more? Would you clarify how the promotions work? Because I'm really looking forward to not only being part of this company, but to progressing with this company. Say things very, very positively and just ask for clarity. Whether you already think you know it, you'd be surprised that when that question comes up, that you might get a real genuine smile from the employer who's interviewing you. And also validate for that employer. You know, let that employer know, wow, this person was really listening to what I was saying. This person is really interested in working for our company and being part of it. He or she is just not looking for any job. That's another catchphrase. I've got to get into that one. How many of you out there have heard someone or said it yourself? What kind of job are you looking for? Someone may ask you. And you say, I'm looking for anything. Anything. That is an automatic red flag. Now, I'll tell you how deep that is. And I get a lot of chuckling, you know, laughter when I say this in the classroom, but I'm going to share it with you so you can chuckle on the other side of the telephone lines or the computer lines. And I'll hear you out there in cyberspace too, my dear listeners. But check this out. If you were dating, if you were beginning to date someone and you like that person, okay, and I'm not getting off the track, I'm really going to come right back to that I want anything job, okay? So stick with me. Indulge me. And please call in. I see that we've got listeners out there listening to the show right now. Call in if you wish, 1-646-727-3758. Or make sure you send me an email, But listen, here it is. You're looking at this guy or you're looking at this girl, okay, and or you're looking at someone that you're interested in. And that person says to you, you may ask them, so what are you looking for in a partner, in a significant other, in, you know, someone to date? And you say, I just want anything. I'll take anything. Now, sit back for a minute and think about what the other person might be saying in their minds when they hear you say that you'll just take anything. Well, that doesn't give that person any value, number one. It doesn't make them feel good. And secondly, you've probably talked yourself out of ever seeing that individual again, because no one wants to lose the value of who they are. They want to be special. Now, let's go back to the employer. The employer wants to be special too. The company wants to be special to its employees. And so when you go into an interview and the employer asks you, what do you want to do? What kind of job are you looking for? You should have already done some homework before you got into that interview about what the job entails. I don't care if it's flipping burgers. So that you can say something other than, I'll do anything. I'm looking for anything. Because immediately that's another red flag of saying, this person doesn't know anything about my company. This is the employer. He doesn't know anything about my company. She doesn't even know what kind of job she's interested in. Why would I hire her? So these are just a few techniques that I'm sharing with you that are red flag issues, because I'm not going to go through the total interviewing and job application process here on the show. I will be developing a course for White Apple Institute, so you can log into that course, and it will be very, very reasonably priced. And you can actually get that information, and it will be a step-by-step of how to apply for a job and then how to interview successfully and then to succeed on the job. Okay? But for right now, I just wanted to give you a few hints about things not to do or things you need to consider improving on in your discussion with employers as you go into the job. And remember this key before I get into succeeding on the job and what job success really is. I want you to remember that you are interviewing them also. So that should take away some of the butterflies in your stomach, some of that feeling tone of feeling a little anxiety, a little stress about going for a job interview, and you're going to have that anyway. But again, let's think about whether or not you really want to work for that company. And even in this economic crunch that we're in, be careful that you don't take a job that you're really truly going to be unhappy with, which is going to increase your stress level and make things worse all around for you and your family. So seek out jobs that you really want to have. And try your best to stay within your career focus. So while we're dealing with this unemployment, the unemployment issues and finding a job issues, still try, even if it's a janitorial job in a hospital and you want to become a nurse. Apply for the janitorial job in the hospital or work in the cafeteria, because at least you'll still be in the work environment that you choose to be in, that your career has placed you in, your desire. And don't give up. Don't give up. don't give up in the sense of not calling back the employer to see how your application process is coming along. There's nothing wrong with that. That is another key red flag for employers. You're the one who didn't call back. And guess what? You join a large group of people who do the same thing. They're too embarrassed. They don't want to call. Well, this employer didn't call me back. You're the one who wants the job. Call the employer back. Do you know, when I teach the success in vocational success and all the school to work issues, I actually do recommend that students send a card, a postcard, to the employer that interviewed you, to the person that interviewed you, and thank them for the interview. Now, I know that some of you, that sounds kind of corny, and it's like, well, gosh, I don't want to do that. I mean, who does that today? Well, not many people do it at all. Why don't you be the one who does? Why can't you be the one who stops at a store and picks up a card that says thank you? And they've got cards now for 50 cents, a dollar, or whatever. Okay, and you pick up that card and you write in there, thank you very much, enjoy the interview. Looking forward to hearing from you. Let's sign your name. Okay? And stick it in the mail immediately. And you will be surprised at the responses you get. Now, this is not to every job that you go to. These are the jobs that you really, really want. And you felt really great in the interview. And that, I promise you, my friends, will put a little bit of whipped cream on your dessert. And your dessert will be, by doing that, a call from the employer to ask you to come in for a second interview or give you a start date of when you'll be part of their company, their organization. So I hope those few tips have helped you with the interviewing issue. Now let's talk about succeeding on the job. And I'm going to bring out some things about succeeding on the job that, of course, again, you know, red flags. You know, one of the things that I hear a lot about job success is that people don't stick with a job. And, you know, it takes time to get adjusted to a new job. And there's a lot of, it's learning in the first few weeks. It's getting adjusted to other employees, about learning the actual culture. Yes, there is a culture that's developed with the with every organization, with every company. The employees develop a culture with each other. You can work in an environment where very few smiles and laughs are exchanged. And it's a very quiet environment where people just do their job and they're cordial to each other. They're nice to each other, but they just don't want to engage in anything beyond work. And then you get into, on the opposite end, a job that the culture is that everybody gets together and they join each other for a couple of drinks or whatever after work sometimes, and they're very involved with each other. So you've got, and then in the middle of all of that, you've got jobs that do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But those are the extremes, okay, that I'm giving you, okay? So how do you adjust to those environments is up to you. And in those first few weeks, you've got to work hard, really, really hard to learn your duties, to learn what are you responsible for. You don't want to get too eager that you start doing somebody else's job or doing more than you need to do at those first few weeks, you know. But you do want to show some, now here's a word for you. And for those of you who are not familiar with this word, you need to write it down and check it out. initiative. Initiative. INITIATIV. Initiative. I'm sorry, initiative. Yes, that's it. I did spell that right. I believe. If there's any question on it, you just give Professor Applewhite a call here. But here's the key. This initiative that I'm talking about means that you don't, there are some things that you don't need to ask. Like, for instance, you're working in a fast food environment and you ask somebody where the napkins are. Before you ask them that, take the initiative to look around and you'll see where the napkins are. Hello, my friends. Please excuse the technical difficulty there. You lost your professor for just a little bit there. Let me go back over some of the things that we just discussed. We were talking about not taking some initiative, and that means that you don't ask the employer everything or your supervisor everything until you have looked yourself to see if you can find them. And I don't know how much you got of that, but the example that I gave is that, you know, if you're looking for napkins and you're working in a fast food restaurant, you know that there are napkins there, of course. So go back and look around and get familiar with your environment. That's something you should do immediately, is really get familiar with your environment, develop questions in your head that some of them you can answer for yourself as you go through the first few weeks of employment, and others you're going to have to ask someone to help you with. Don't be embarrassed to do that. I think all of you can relate. I believe that pretty much all of the students that are outside of the United States listening to the show can relate to this also. When you're dealing with fast food restaurants and drive-thrus, drive-thru windows, don't you notice sometimes that there are people there that don't know how to understand your order? And they will not, for some reason, usually because they feel a little inhibited, they don't feel comfortable with turning around and answering your question by asking the manager on the floor. Okay? If you have a question, and especially something that a customer asks you, and you do not know the answer, ask the supervisor. Believe me, that supervisor will appreciate that. And even though they may be in a very busy environment that you're working on, and they might not stop at that moment and say, that's a good thing that you asked the question, or they may not ever say that, know in your heart and in your mind that you did the right thing so that you could service that customer, and it's going to be empowering to you. So, you know, let's talk about as we move on into a new job, and we're looking for this job success. And, you know, the first day on the job is always going to be a little jittery, you know. And I think that the most important key when you're first starting is relating to others. Relate to others. You know, the first steps are in starting a new job, I would have to say, are definitely relating to coworkers and, of course, what I mentioned earlier, showing your initiative. But you must learn how to get along with others. That's key because, you know, I'll tell you something. People will at least watch your back because they want you to watch their back. In other words, they want you to be able to share with them what's going on. And then you are able to share with them what's going on. And then you have this great relationship going on where you're growing together. And believe me, it works. Now, you need to be careful, though, when you're sharing with coworkers. This is a real interesting issue here. is that you don't want to ever share your personal information that's very personal to you. And we have a caller online here. And let's see. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite. You're on air.
Yes, Nazim Rashid here for you.
Nazim Rashid, the Mentor Man Show, which will be restarting again in January 8th, right here on Blog Talk Radio, right?
Yes, that's correct, yes. Mm-hmm.
Got that date right there.
All
How
right.
are you feeling?
Fantastic and wonderful. I've been enjoying your show. I've been listening online with you
oh,
here.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes.
Super.
Mm-hmm. Doing a good job.
I hope you have good things to share, anything that you want to share about job success and positive and negative attitudes that people need to have. That's what I was just getting ready to go into, is that grouchy bad feeling that people can put out because they've had a bad night or a bad day or whatever. And, you know, that a positive attitude is a very important factor in succeeding on the job.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you agree?
Yes, absolutely. And see, what happens is that a lot of folks don't realize that employers, or anybody really, any kind of relationship issue, since we're talking about job interviewing in this process, the employer picks up your energy as you walk into the room. Before you even say anything, the employer's already taking notes as to whether they like you or not.
Right.
You know, and one thing that one of my guests, Jeff Gaisley, therapist Jeff Gaisley, was teaching us is to just say some things to yourself before you go to the interview process. It's real, real important. And he was stating, actually part of his energy psychology techniques he uses, he said to say, I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself. And you say it first. I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself. And then after that you say, you might say, even though I'm nervous right now, even though I don't have any money right now, I need a job to pay a bill, and, you know, so you add that kind of part in there first, and then at the end of it, you say, and regardless of what happens, I'm okay. I'm okay. You know, so three parts to that, and that's so wonderful, because you're stating firstly that I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself. That by itself raises the image of yourself.
That's right.
And you put the little challenge in there about what you're going through, you know, and then at the end, it's kind of like a sandwich to say at the end, say, regardless of what happens, I'm still okay.
That's right. That's right. Regardless of what happens, I'm still okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because a positive attitude will keep those bad feelings away about, you know, whether or not I'm going to get a job, I'm going to keep a job. Oh, the last one let me go because my English wasn't up to par. The last job let me go because I wasn't fast enough. You know, and so that positive attitude will help carry you through applying for the next job.
That's right.
And not allowing yourself to give in to the depression and, again, the self-pity. That, oh, well, a lot of people are out of work and I can't find a job and there's just not any jobs out there. Because people are being employed.
Every day.
That's right. And those with negative attitudes and those that are unable to say what you just shared with us a moment ago, would you say that again, please? Because
yes.
That's something that we had talked about at the beginning of the show.
Yes, it's three parts. First part, I deeply and profoundly love and accept myself. Even though I'm applying for a job where my experience is a little minimal, and but regardless, I'm still okay. I'm okay in the end. You know,
yeah.
I'm still okay. You see, and that's okay. So what you're doing, you're acknowledging some challenges you're having. Professionally or, you know, professionally, occupationally, emotionally, you acknowledge some challenges. But see, if you look at it, majority part of the statement is all positive, majority. And that's what, if we just have the dominant theme being positive, the employer picks that up as you're walking in. you feel okay. You're doing them a favor. You, like you said earlier, you're interviewing them. You want to see if you even want to work there or not. If you want to see if this employer is okay with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
I hope our listeners appreciate that.
Yeah. You are your own company.
Mm-hmm.
You are the CEO of your own company. You're going and you're merging your company with their company.
Absolutely.
And you want to know if that's a good merger or not, if that's a good sound business plan or sound business move or not. You want to know that because you are concerned about your company and about your employees, which is you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're concerned about that. So you're going there to see if this is a good match or not.
Yes. Yes. You know, one of the future guests that I anticipate having on the show is Cliff Hakim. And Cliff Hakim wrote a book, very, very interesting. And I use a lot of his information. It talks about we are all self-employed. And he makes some very good points, just like you did just now, that we are actually, he may not say it the same way you said it, but basically that we are corporations or companies within ourselves merging with another company. And we still have to produce, just like we would have to produce if we owned our own company, legitimately owned our own business.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to have a plan, which is our business plan, of how we're going to produce every day. So that's very important. I appreciate you bringing that out to us. One of the things I wanted to bring into as we close the show, we've got about 15 minutes remaining, and we're hoping that some of our listeners will call in like you have. Nazim Rashid is also part of the board of directors for White Apple Institute. And so we always appreciate board members taking the time to listen and call into the show and share their ideas. Of course, all the board members are counselors and professionals in their own right. And so you're getting some really, really good information whenever they come on the show. So we really appreciate you, Nazim Rashid, for being with us.
Well, thank you.
And super appreciation for the music that you share with us, okay? So I wanted to talk about stress for a moment, stress at work, handling job stress. And that, let me define it with, J.J. Littrell wrote a book on From School to Work. And he defines stress as a feeling of pressure, strain, or tension that results from change. That change can create different levels of stress, okay? And that there are major changes in our lives, such as divorce or being fired from a job, and they can be extremely stressful. Even losing a homework assignment can be stressful, especially if you're in the last stage of graduating from a class or moving on from a class. So, again, now coming back to what Nazim and I are talking about, listeners, is that we want to make sure that if we maintain that positive attitude, that some of the things that stress is going to bring on to us will hopefully balance it. A positive attitude can help balance the way we handle stress. And as a matter of fact, Littrell brings that out even. The first thing he says on handling stress is keep a positive attitude. Feel good about yourself, okay? And that's going to help with your stress. And you know what the next thing is that he suggests? This is, and you and I have talked about this, Nazim. Staying healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he doesn't talk about my PMS formula, which is physical, mental, and spiritual health. But he does talk about staying healthy by eating right and getting enough sleep and exercising regularly, okay? And that's one of the ways that you can definitely handle stress. Even just walking and bicycling or doing any activity. For me, I get in the water and I swim. What do you do, Brother Nazim, to handle your stress about different situations?
I'm on a treadmill, matter of fact. I did a little more than 2 miles this morning already on my treadmill. And I do that for sure. And I also practice yoga.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yoga is a stress-relieving exercise, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
A set of exercises, right?
It's very good. Yeah, a lot of stretching, breathing, and so forth, and very stress relieving, and meditation on top of that too. You know, so those things are part of my regimen every day, and it's important that we have to take time to just sit and allow, you know, something spiritual to come in. You know, and in the process of allowing something spiritual to come in, what happens? You're also releasing at the same time. So you have to do this. It's very important to do that. If you don't do that, you're carrying something over, you know, from the day before that shouldn't be there anymore. You know, every day should be a blank slate.
Right.
You know, blank slate. So if you're carrying something over, you haven't allowed yourself to release.
Yoga doesn't cost anything either, does it? I mean, you don't have to necessarily get into a class. You could read a book.
Oh my God! No! I'm here by myself. No, you don't have to join any class. You can get a book and look at the illustrations. Everything's very, very fully illustrated, and do things at your own comfort level.
Yeah.
You know, and even the most books I have, it's separated from beginning to advanced in there, and so you just look at the beginning parts and start there.
Right.
You know, it might be just sitting in one position, you know, and just breathing deeply and just watching and noticing how your breath comes in and out. Just starting there, that by itself relieves your stress.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I want the listeners out there to get something from this, is that there are ways that you can relieve stress that do not cost money. So if that's one of the obstacles that you're dealing with, especially if you've been unemployed for a while, there's still just what Nazim was bringing out a moment ago, is that you can read a book. Now, if you're saying, oh, I can't afford the book, because I know that I've been talking to a lot of people, Nazim, lately, and every time that I recommend something for them to do, there's always a blockage, and they come back and say, well, I can't do that because I don't have the money to do it. And so I thought that this was really good to expound on the fact that yoga doesn't cost anything. And if you have a pool nearby, this is one of the things that I do, is I meditate in water.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's one of the best things that I can do. And usually if you're near a pool, or you can use a friend's pool and you can get in the water, that's not going to cost you any money, okay? And
right.
Sometimes there are community pools that you can get into. So there are things that we can do to handle stress. And talk about your problems. Talk to someone you trust and respect. That's going to be very important. Remember I mentioned earlier, listeners, that we don't want to get into talking about our personal problems, especially when we first start a job with other coworkers. You keep your personal business to yourself. But when you are trying to handle stress, you want to get into a situation where you can talk to somebody who you really trust and respect, and that should be a friend or family member or counselor that's outside of your work environment, hopefully. And learn to manage your time. I know you're very, very good with that, Nazim, and many of our listeners are out there too. And many of the students that have are really learning how to manage your time and, you know, just kind of make a list of what the things that they need to do in order to get the job done. You agree?
Yes, for sure. And also, there's also a you can list that's there, you know, and I heard you earlier talking about people who said that when you mention certain things, they can't do that. I can't do this. I don't have the money for this. Well, you'll
right.
never have the money for it. You'll never be able to do anything as long as you keep saying those things.
That's true. That's true.
You'll never have it. You'll never have it. I'm looking at this book right now, the yoga book, and library is free. You can get it right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
And take it home and learn it. And then recheck it out afterwards, you know. And
that's
so
right.
As long as you keep saying you can't do it, you don't have any money, you'll never have it.
That's right.
Why would money think about it? You know, if money is a you know, a good friend, money should be your friend anyway. And your friend comes by and you say, you're not welcome here, you know.
Right.
You know, so why would money come in there? Why would they come in there? Why would they be around you if you keep saying, I don't get along with money. You know, I don't never have any money and so forth. And all these negative ideas. Why would they be around?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I really, really expound on people not saying I'm broke, because I don't know when I think about being broken, that's a pretty extreme situation. Okay,
right.
That you are really broken and that you can't go anywhere and do anything.
Right.
Which, so one of the things that we need to stop doing is saying, I'm broke. Because you're
right.
not broke. Look around
you're
at your
broke.
Environment. You will find things where you will say, I do have blessings here and I have blessings there, blessings with my children. I still have the ability to go out and find a job, even if I do it online.
Yes, and if you look at any of the other countries, you look at third world countries, you look at almost any other parts of the world and see how a lot of people are living,
right.
and look at how we're living. We could just turn on a tap and have fresh water, you know, out the sink,
yes.
and so forth. You know, if it's cold, I put the heat on. If it's hot, I put the air conditioning on. Yeah, we're rich.
Right. if you live in America. And I don't care if you're at the so-called bottom of the social economic strata, the ladder. And let me define that for the students. In other words, there's a cutoff line, and most of you are aware of it, that you can't get food stamps or you can't get some of the benefits that are out there because you might make a few dollars over that line. So there is a line. But people that live below that line of income are still considered rich in other countries. It's all about how you want to look at it, how you want to perceive your environment. And again, back to that positive attitude again.
Sure.
You know, continuing that positive attitude when you're trying to handle the stress of, okay, I don't have a job where I'm just starting a new job and I'm not sure if I want to stay here. I hate that I had to lose my great job in the corporate world at the bank or whatever. And now here I am here moving a mop around the floor so that my kids can eat. But that positive attitude will get you through. And,
yep,
and being
right.
aware, we have 5 minutes left here, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to just breeze very, very quickly through the last techniques that Latrell is bringing out in his book, School to Work, and that is to listen to cooperate with others. And we talked about that a little while ago, to when other people don't do things your way, so to speak, don't get upset. Try to give and take instead of fighting or confronting them, try to give a little compassion to that individual who feels that they must bang their chest around and bully other people on the job, especially new employees. Try your best to reduce the stress of that by talking to them. And if you can't do that, leave it alone. Just leave it alone because it doesn't have to be your way. And find healthy ways to relieve stress. Again, we talked about some activities that you can do as far as exercises and meditation, as Nazim Rashid mentioned. But there's also listening to quiet music. If you're feeling anxious, go ahead and have a good cry. There's nothing wrong with having a good cry. If you remember, we talked about in the self-pity, the evaluation of self-pity series, we talked about the fact that we're all going to experience some self-pity. Get over it. Cry it out. Roll up your sleeves and move on. And do some deep breathing, as Nazim was coming up with. And that relieves that built-up tension about coworkers and how your employer might be treating you. Or the anxiety that many people are feeling about losing their job. You know, and we'll get into that more next week about the anxiety about, am I going to be here tomorrow or am I going to be terminated when I walk in the door? Because a lot of employers are not giving notice, Nazim.
Right.
Not giving any notice. So people are walking in the door and being told, hey, you no longer work here. But just take some time. Take some time to relax. Take some time to have some fun with your family. I mean, we can go on and on about activities that don't cost a lot of money, that you can start having fun with your family as you're going through the job-seeking process or starting a new job that maybe you're not very happy with, but adjusting to the best of your ability to handle the stress of interviewing and making sure that you're interviewing the company, yourself, that you're waking up with a positive attitude. Choose the positive attitude. You have a choice in the matter. You have power. You are empowered to do that. And thank you so much for joining us, Nazim Rashid, this morning. Anything particular that you'd like to close and say to our listeners out there?
Well, it's I was in Fresh and Easy one time. We have a store here in Arizona called Fresh and Easy, a nice, wonderful little convenience store that has a lot of options in there. And I was in there, and this young Hispanic girl was working, and she had the biggest smile. She would greet everybody coming in there, and she would go around the store and seeing if everybody was okay and satisfied. She wanted help, and she was bored with her enthusiasm with everybody. She would help bag the groceries, and she was always smiling and asking mothers about the little kids, and they brought the kids in there. She was so bubbly. And I always, when I left there, I always had her in mind. She stuck in my mind every time I leave the store. And a few weeks later, I'm talking to her and says, you know, I said, you're doing well. You know, you're going to do well in the store. She says, well, thank you. Very appreciative. A month later, she was assistant manager. And then I talked to her, and she had a little pass. She said, hey, I'm assistant manager. She said, you know what? You told us to move up, and I am moving up. Then 2 months later, now she's in charge of the whole store.
What a great story to close with. What a great story. And I'll tell you, there, all of our listeners out there, that can happen. I've seen it happen with people that are in wheelchairs, people that are still working and they have cancer or diabetes or whatever. And it's up to you. It's up to you, your attitude. And Professor Applewhite wishes you much love and peace in this upcoming week.